This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
You're back at the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're with us this afternoon at AM 950, 95.7 FM. He is the host of the Tea to Green show on our sister station, WGR. And of course, you know his voice from the Sabres radio network as well. Brian Koziel making his inaugural visit into the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Brian, how are you this afternoon?
Hey guys, doing well. How are you?
I would think, Brian, this is everything you want in a leaderboard here to keep everybody's interest here heading into the weekend.
Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, big name after big name after big name. And whether you're rooting for the old guys, the young guys, the flashy guys, they're all there. I mean, it's really, really setting up to be an outstanding weekend of golf. And I mean, there's still obviously plenty of hours of good stuff still to come today.
This game has evolved, and it feels like it's just evolved in the last few years, and maybe you can help explain it, Brian. I mean, I know that these guys are, you know, they are athletes. I mean, when we grew up watching this game, you saw, you know, your Craig Stadlers and your Colin Montgomerys, and, you know, other than Epi Barnrat right now, I think most of these guys, I mean, Koepka looks like he could bench press a Volkswagen, and the other guy, DeChambeau looks like, you know, he could be an edge rusher in the NFL. Was it Tiger? Was that the turning point when these guys really became this much more athletic as professional golfers?
I think it's definitely Tiger and his effect. I mean, you're seeing these golfers now that grew up watching Tiger at the start of his career, and part of the awe of Tiger, I mean, there were so many things to be awed with his game when he came on the scene and started dominating, but one of it was the fact that he was a physical specimen, in the sense that no golfer was kind of chiseled like Tiger was. Nobody hit it as far as he did. And he always talked about fitness and his workout regime being part of what he thought was his success. I know we, you know, as amateur golfers and fans, we were always, I feel like, really appreciative of how he was mentally able to intimidate golfers, how he said he would walk up to the tee and he knew right away, I'm going to beat this guy. And the guy he was going against, even in that round, one-on-one, probably thought, I'm going to lose to this guy. But you ask golfers, and they said that, you know, just maybe as equally as a piece of that was the physical aspect of it. So I think it definitely started with Tiger. A lot of these athletes, you mentioned a couple of them, they look like they're good enough athletes to play other sports. And I think now, because you're seeing other professional athletes also take in the lure of golf. I mean, probably Steph Curry maybe is the big name that too. Tony Romo. These are guys that are star athletes in other sports that also are trying to make almost a run at professional golf for themselves. So that crossover now of, yes, you are a legitimate athlete if you're a golfer. And yeah, there's a rare example of two here and there. But I think for the most part, if your plans someday are to play on the PGA Tour, you probably make sure that you look like a professional athlete and work out like one and eat like one. And I think that's part of the reason that these guys are having such good success so early.
We're talking to Brian Koziel, WGR, also a Sabres host. We'll get to the Sabres here in a little bit, Brian. But as we're talking, Tiger has just birdied six, so now he's 3 under for the tournament, 4 shots off the pace. Tiger Woods here in 2019, where is his game at right now?
I think it's the best we've seen it in 5 years. Off the tee, he has been excellent for the most part. And I think his irons are, about, you know, pretty good. I just think his putting is still not where it needs to be for him to reclaim the Tiger magic of old. When he's had good weeks, it's because he's putted well. Even yesterday, I thought he played almost a flawless round yesterday, other than some missed putts on the front nine. He could have been easily 2 or 3 strokes better. If he's putting well, I feel like he can be just as good as anybody on tour right now. I think that the rest of his game is back. And that's obviously exciting for all of us, because whether, even if you root for Tiger or you like to root against Tiger, there's no way that anybody can debate the fact that it's more interesting when he's around.
Brian, we look at today's leaderboard and we see Francisco Molinari right now as a co-leader. He's been playing some really good golf here over the course of the last 12 to 18 months. Tell us a little bit about the Italian.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about what he did last year, he went on that incredible run that was really highlighted by his win at the Open Championship overseas. Last year, he had made a run kind of during the mid portion of the season where he had won like 3 out of 5 European Tour events that he had played in, then came over and was playing well on the PGA Tour, and then, of course, won the British Open, and then was one of the heroes at the Ryder Cup. So he's in a groove. Last year, probably at his peak, but no surprise to see that when he's on his game, he could play as well as this. There's this, you know, he comes in probably not getting as much on the radar as he should, and I was saying the same thing about Brooks Koepka, too. I mean, for him to have 3 major victories in his last 6 outings, why weren't people not talking more about him? Well, it's because right now the fields are just so deep. We're talking about Tiger maybe being back, and we're talking about, well, Rory's playing as good as anybody. And, well, if Dustin Johnson is on his game, he can beat anybody. Like, you know, and is it Ricky Fowler's turn to get finally to get a green jacket? And Justin Rose is ranked number one in the world, and, boy, he could win it. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, this Koepka and this Molinari storyline probably deserves just as much, but the depth of these fields right now is so good. And that's why I think a win right now is so more valuable in the sense that you are beating so many good players. This is not to take away from what Tiger did, but I think Tiger and Phil and those guys back in those days, if you could get them to answer honestly, I'm not saying it was easier to win, but they didn't necessarily have to deal with 50 guys playing at the top of their game. They might only have had to deal with 30 guys. And I just think, you know, it's going to keep getting, if golf grows in popularity, then it's going to keep getting harder and harder to crack this field. This is why you see guys that, you know, sneak in at 100th in the world and start winning tournaments. There's not as much of a gap anymore between the number one guy and the 100 guy in the world.
Brian, so what you're saying, I we always have a tendency to overstate things like, oh, that was the greatest NCAA tournament. Well, it's because we're in the moment, and right now we're in the moment of this fantastic leaderboard. But so what you're saying essentially, like, this is the golden age of golf right now?
Well, in terms of the depth of the field, I think we're seeing as good a golf as we can. And I think that's why maybe predicting who's going to come out on top is maybe the best answer. Predicting who's going to come out on top on a week-to-week basis maybe is as difficult as it could be. Golden age, I still think in my lifetime, I wasn't able, unfortunately, to see Jack Nicklaus play at his best when Arnold Palmer and those two and Tom Watson were going at it. I only have watched highlights from it, but I have seen Tiger at his best. You know, in the early 2000s, to me, that still is when golf took an extreme leap to when it was more so than just a rich white man's old game. That's when it became popular for everyone, and it was cool to golf, and I think that that's still carried through.
Hey, if we're watching this weekend, Brian, we've been joking all week in the sports bar about dark horses in this tournament, because when you hear the names of the people that are on the leaderboard, it's like, well, you can't really consider any of these guys to be dark horses because they're all names that you're familiar with, or they're all guys that have been winning fairly recently. But is there anybody that you see that could surprise some people? You know, I mentioned Epe Barnrad earlier. That's not a name that a lot of people know, but he's a pretty good golfer. I don't know how he did today. I didn't get a chance to see his
72.
So he's even today. So is there anybody here that around 3 and 4 as we're watching this weekend could sneak up and surprise some people?
You know, Matt Kuchar's a name. He's always played well here.
Love that
he's
guy.
He's in that group. I mean, he has had a good enough career that if you want to say, is he good enough to have a major title under his belt, I would think that my answer would be yes on that. Personally, I would hope that maybe Ricky Fowler can get involved. I just think he's so likable. I think he's done so many good things for the game of golf that I feel like he cherishes what I think the golf traditions are, and I think that he's given back so much. You see him cheering on his fellow golfers, too, at times when they've had their chance to maybe win a big tournament. I can't imagine that if Fowler would get a chance to maybe walk up 18 with the lead, how many of these other players might be there to see him. I think, you know, beyond Tiger winning, or beyond maybe Phil Mickelson becoming the oldest guy to ever win the Masters, I think, you know, those are maybe your top storylines. But I think right under it maybe would be Fowler winning. And, of course, Fowler very popular with younger golfers and with kids. You want to talk about growing the game, I think that also would be something that The people in the brand of golf and the world of golf would love to see if Fowler wins. I think that only gets more talking, you know, about golf as a whole.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to Mickelson, an opening round of 67. How do you like his chances this week, Brian?
Well, he's spraying it all over the place. I mean, a wild front nine. I got a chance to see most of his front nine today. And, I mean, back and forth, bogey, birdie, all over the place there. And he ends up shooting even par on the front nine. The thing is that this major, unlike the others, it's less penalizing when you're spraying it all over the tee because the rough is just not what we see at the U.S. Open or at the PGA or things like that. So I think he can get away with it. He definitely knows these greens as good as anybody. So if he's putting well, I'd put him in the mix. The problem is some of these other guys at the top just aren't making as many mistakes. Mickelson might make just as many birdies. He might make more birdies. But he also is throwing some bogeys in there too, which is just keeping him always that one or two shot gap behind the leaders. He can cut down and be more accurate off the tee on the weekend. There's no reason why he's not good enough. This is not a course that you have to be the longest off the tee. You just have to know where to be on the course, know where to putt from, know where to hit your shots in. And he studied this forever. I mean, him and Bones, when they were back together, you know, they were, you know, stories of how they would come for weeks and study and take notes and all that. So he knows his way around there as good as anybody on this course. So I just think if he can stay accurate off the tee, I think he could definitely give himself a legitimate chance going into the weekend.
He's the host of the Tee to Green show on our sister station WGR in Buffalo. Brian Koziel joining us here in the sports bar. And Brian, before we talk some Sabres, I'm just out of my own curiosity. Have you ever been to Augusta? Do you know anybody that's ever been to Augusta? What kind of a bucket list item is that? And how do you get to enjoy this and check this off of your bucket list if you're a golf fan?
Yeah, last year I actually did get to go, and that was the beautiful thing for me to check that off my bucket list.
Nice.
And it lived up to the expectations. I mean, I remember going there that day and saying, okay, like, you know, you see the beautiful pictures on television and all the HD that does everything that makes it look perfect and pristine, and it really, really was. Like, I'm not exaggerating. I mean, I was taking pictures of the grass just to prove to people, like, hey, this, you know, it is perfect. It's the greens and the fairways look just as smooth as like carpet does in your house. It really, really was great. What I loved beyond the things that people always talk about as well, you appreciate it, you know, when you're seeing it more in person. I think that goes with any golf course, if you're, or even any sporting event. You're at a baseball stadium, and all of a sudden, the next time you watch that game on TV, like, you have a new appreciation for it. Now, when I watch a golf tournament at a course I've been at, I'm like, hey, I know exactly where I was standing on that hole. I can picture that angle. Boy, that putt is a lot harder than it looks. Or, hey, there's a lot more elevation there than you see. But what I really liked about the Masters is that there was no what you see now at sporting events, and this could be me now that I'm past 40 years old. I'm turning into grumpy guy next door. But there's none of the things that sometimes I get annoyed with at sporting events that was there at the Masters. No one is on their phone. No one is yelling stupid things. No one is even yelling against anyone. It's all like just positive, great cheering and support, and people are there to love in the tradition and love in the course. Every single person there that you talk with is happy to be there. So, I mean, that was something that I really, really enjoyed. Just the random conversations, just taking it all in. It was so peaceful to be there. And I think some of what we take in today in 2019 in a sporting event, like, some of those things aren't there at Augusta. And it was kind of a nice little throwback the clock, which I really enjoyed.
Talking to Brian Koziel, WGR, as well, on the flip side, you know, saying yelling things, we had a chant of Fire Housley at the end of the season. Brian, where does Jason Bottrell go from here as far as the coaching search and the development today? Bob McKenzie reporting that apparently McClellan is out of the mix for Buffalo.
Yeah, I don't know where he goes from here. I mean, I know obviously the fans' first choice that I was getting from calls from our post games toward the end of the season was everybody wanted Joe Quenneville. I understand the intrigue and the lure of wanting him with his resume. That obviously evaporated right away. Todd McClellan to me is, I would say, uninspiring. I'm not saying that he wouldn't be good for this team. I feel like there's two ways you can argue this. This team right now is still so young. Has a captain that arguably you could say, is he doing what he needs to do as a very young captain in Jack Eichel to keep that locker room on focus, on par with what needs to be done Is there proper communication between the coach and the players? Are they being held accountable? That's a big thing, too. I felt like each player was almost handled a little differently when it came to ice time, when it came to who was scratched and who was playing, who's being sent to Rochester, who's being called up, who's going to stay with the parent club when they're not playing well, who's going to get sent down. It just didn't seem like there was a consistent sort of decision or pathway when Phil Housley was here. With that being said, I feel like I'm arguing for someone that has experience, that would command respect, that the players would know they're in charge, that they will be held accountable. But at the same time, I feel like any one of those hires, if you're going to hire somebody that's had two or three NHL jobs, doesn't seem as alluring or as exciting. Somebody bringing up an argument of, oh, why don't you go get the Swedish national coach, because there's a lot of Sweden players on Buffalo's roster. Like, that to me sounds, ooh, brand new and exciting. I mean, that guy could come and he could be very successful. He also could come here and flop, and it could be a terrible move, and maybe he's totally in over his head. And I think Jason Botterill, I'm going to guess, is going to side more towards the guy with experience, because my guess is Botterill feeling the pressure now. If I mess this coaching hire up and I hire the wrong guy, guess who's also going to get fired when this coach gets hired?
Correct.
Fired, and that's him. So that's why I feel like Botterill's going to lean a little bit more conservative on this decision.
And Brian, if we figure out who the head coach is going to be eventually here, if you're going to have to also make some tough decisions about who's coming back next season. I know a lot of fans are very frustrated with the play of Rasmus Ristolainen, although out of everybody that spoke at Locker Cleanout Day, Ristolainen was the one that actually stood out to me as the guy that said the right thing, you know, by saying maybe we should hold each other a little bit more accountable. You know, this negativity that so many people talk about that exists around the Buffalo Sabres, this culture of negativity, which stems from years of losing now. I mean, some of these players have been through multiple years of just miserable seasons. How do you begin to course correct that? And which players do you think are in real danger of losing their job with the Buffalo Sabres this offseason?
Well, I'd start with the guy you just mentioned. I wonder if Rasmus Ristolainen would do himself a world of good by playing on a different team and being a part of a different organization. I was probably always quick to defend Ristolainen. He seemed to be a whipping boy from fans after games. I just think his upside still is a little stronger than maybe people give him credit for. When you look comparably to the other defensemen on this team, he, though, seemed to be exposed more and more as the year went on, and I thought made some really poor decisions in his own defensive end about being caught either behind the net or with his defensive partner in the same side. And it just looked like he just seemed to be on the ice at the wrong time, always when a goal against would go in. And I understand why fans were annoyed at the playing that he was at. He's been here. He knows nothing other than losing. It has been a struggle since the start. And I wonder if, because he could command value from another team, because of his attribute of skills, he definitely has them. I mean, a puck-moving defenseman that can pass well and that can skate well, like, what GM isn't going to sign up to try to think about making that work for their team? So that's why I think maybe Jason Botterill could think, hey, I can get some value here. Where some of these other defensemen, yes, you'd want to trade them, but what are you going to get back? A fourth-round draft pick, a minor league prospect? Ristolainen, you can get a proven NHL player back. So I would probably start with that. To me, at forward, once you get past the top line, Eichel, Skinner, of course, you hope, Reinhardt and Mittelstadt. The next guy that I'm most excited about might be Victor Olofsson, and he's playing for the Amherst right now. The rest of the forwards, to be honest, take him or leave him. Connor Sherry, I feel like, is a nice player, but he's no more than a third-line player. But the rest of them, Larsons, Gergensons, Wilson, Oposo, I think it's time to turn the page on Jason Pominville. Like, that next six or seven, if Botterill can figure out a way to turn over as many of those as possible, I think it's for the better of this club.
By the way, Phil Mickelson has just bogeyed 17. So there, the You're pattern right. continues. Brian Koziol in that right on the button, lefty now at 4-under for the tournament. Brian, I was driving one night and I got to take in a lot of the postgame. I want to say it was the loss down in Florida. And you were making a point to kind of paraphrase this, when the season you could sense things were going the wrong way in February, why didn't Jason Botterill make a move just to shake up that dressing room a little bit, other than bringing up somebody from Rochester? That was the opportunity. Did when you do the autopsy of this Sabres season, how much blame do you send in the direction of Jason Botterill?
Yeah, I'll say some. Clearly, the easy answer is they're all to blame. But Bottrell, to me, if you're a GM and you have a pulse of your team, you had a unique opportunity. I know that he didn't expect them to be first in the league at the end of November. None of us did. But it happened, and that's a good thing. And he could feel the wheels. We all did. I mean, just watching the games. I mean, if you're a fan and you watch this team regularly, you could sense it was starting to fall apart late December. Early December, even though they were not winning every game, they played some great games in Nashville and in Tampa, and then at home against Toronto, they lost overtime. They still feel like they were the same effort and outcomes that they were doing during that win streak. But then late December, slipping, and then January was poor. And my thought was right there, if you're not going to even change a coach, that's a time to make a trade for Brandon Montour. That's a time to make a trade for another forward. And you were getting I felt like the phrase of January was no secondary scoring. If it wasn't coming from Eichel's line or Skinner, it wasn't coming at all. And they were losing tight games, 2-1, 3-1, 2-0. Games that they maybe were in, that they had a chance to accumulate points in, but they got no secondary scoring. And to not force the button from a player coming up from the Amherst, which I don't think is in the best interest of the player. We saw how good it was keeping Olofsson there all year. He came up and produced in a really, really great fashion. So I wouldn't want to just push a button to get up and start playing well, because that doesn't always work that way. I would have liked Bottrell to make a move. And then when you start off February, they had that huge 7-game homestand to start the year. And with the easier opponents in terms of what their records were, they had Chicago in there, they had Ottawa in there, they had the Rangers in there, they had Detroit in there. That was a real opportunity for them to maybe get themselves back in the race. And when they fell flat on their face on that opening, to the opening of the homestand, they got blasted by Chicago. Like, to me, maybe that would have been the point that you do make the coaching change. They weren't up for the challenge. They weren't ready to go with basically their season on the line. If he, Jason Bottrell, had ideas about Joe Klinville being the coach or someone else, that would have given you a head start on it. Instead, you waited until the end of the year, and before you could even collect your thoughts, Florida had already agreed with the deal. So I don't know if Joe Klinville was the guy he wanted or not, but if he had sensed that it was over at that point, I don't know why he didn't make the move earlier. It would have only given him an edge on other teams.
He's your Sabres Radio Network host. You can also hear him on the Tea to Green show. That's Saturday mornings on WGR, correct, Brian?
Yep, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. We're actually doing 2 hours tomorrow for Masters.
I love it. Brian Koziel, it's been great having you on with us. Hope we get the chance to do it again soon. Really appreciate you giving us some of your time, and enjoy this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Talk soon.
Boy, he was right on the button about Mickelson, because Mickelson today, up, down, and just bogeying 17. So Mickelson now 3 shots back. But you look at this leaderboard, dangerous. This is everything you want and more. And by the way, Tiger's only 4 shots back, so Saturday's going to be huge moving day at the Masters.
He was right about Tiger, at least from what I saw of his round yesterday. Out of the tee box, Tiger was nearly perfect. It's all been his short game. It's all been his putting.
He blew it on one today. If he ends up losing this, you can point to the 3 or 4 holes.
Yeah, you just need a little bit more confidence on the greens if you're Tiger Woods. And as I'm talking, he actually just missed another putt. So that was great. Brian Koziel, WGR, joining us here in the Sports Bar with a little Masters talk, and of course some Sabres talk as well. If you came in late or if you missed it, we'll get it for you on demand shortly at ESPNRochester.com and also the Radio.com. app. It is free to download, and you can listen to our on-demand audio when you search out the Sports Bar inside of the app. All right, we're going to take a break here. We've got I'll Drink to That on the way, some takes on tap for you, and then Zig Fercassi, SiriusXM Hockey, is going to be joining us here in a little bit too. We'll talk some Frozen Four. We'll talk some Stanley Cup playoff action with Zig when he joins us. I don't know if you saw this, Gene, but the Buffalo Bills released a video of the team's new sports performance center.
Yeah, that's a sell job, if anything. Too bad they didn't have that done in time for free agency.
I have a better sell job for the Buffalo Bills. I'll explain. And when we're talking about the Masters as well, if you think you're having a bad day, not as bad as Zach Johnson is having. Ooh, Zach Johnson just went viral for the wrong reasons.
There is a Buffalo Bills Hall of Famer, in my opinion, that has destroyed his legacy. Destroyed. It's done. I don't want to speak ill, but I'll lay it out for you.
It's been a while since we've had a very cavalry update as well.
Oh, no. Really? We need to go into this?
I'm going to be honest. Oh. I haven't been paying attention. I don't really know what's going on in the show. But there are some quotes out there that have, yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about what's been going on in the Cutler Cavallari household. It's
disgusting.
I don't even know what it means. I really don't.
Oh, you think you do?
Okay, maybe I do. We'll get into that and more next. I'll drink to that is on the way in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, thanks for joining us this afternoon on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion. We've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader. ESPN Rochester.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.